has immense spiritual potential. Things that we assume are just routine, secular, having no spiritual potential at all, sometimes have the most possible spiritual potential. Some of you know that I'm obsessed with the issue of driving. Because I believe that driving is not just an activity that we miss out on its potential, but driving can become almost a metaphor for everything else we do in our life that we rob of its spiritual potential. We know that the ultimate goal spiritually is devekus, of cleaving to Hashem. It's the word in Hebrew for glue, devek. It's the word that Hashem uses for the cleaving of a husband to wife. And the Torah tells us that's the relationship we're supposed to seek to have with Hashem. That kind of intimacy, devekus. And yet, the Talmud asks, how do we get it? How do we cleave to Hashem? And the Talmud says that one of the most powerful ways is simply to emulate Hashem. We know that one of the things that happens when we admire something is we want to be like that thing. You watch a teenager that wants to be like the rock and roll guitar player that they admire. They'll cut the hair the same way, buy the same clothing, buy the same guitar, hold the guitar in the same way. Sometimes married couples begin to look like each other after how many years. But that's part of human nature. That one of the greatest ways of establishing closeness is by imitating. It's interesting that the Hebrew letter for Kedusha, holiness, the Kuf, is a kof, a monkey. That the secret of holiness is to ape, to mimic, like a monkey. Kof, almost like the Hebrew word to copy. If you want to get holiness, then copy, ape, mimic the source of holiness. What the Torah tells us to do is to pattern our lives after God. If God is merciful, we should be merciful. If God is giving, we should be giving. If God is kind, we should be kind. And if we do it, again, with the intention of patterning ourselves after Hashem, not just being an open-minded progressive liberal, not just with the kavana of being a nice guy, but with the kavana that by imitating Hashem, I'm drawing closer to Hashem. By becoming more godly myself, I'm becoming closer to God. It's an incredibly powerful opportunity for practice. So what happens is, we use something as seemingly secular and mundane as getting into our car as an opportunity for the ultimate spiritual growth. One of the things I once learned from Yitzhak Buxbaum, it's an amazing thing he pointed out, that in the beginning of the Torah, we're told about the creation of Adam. And we're told that, how did God create the first human being? God takes dirt from the ground and forms the dirt into a human form. Taking clay, taking dirt, and forming it into B'Tselem Elohim, the image of God. That's how we were created. Physical clay, dirt, is formed into B'Tselem, an image. And he says, it's interesting that this activity is very close to exactly what the Torah prohibits. The Torah prohibits as the worst crime, idolatry. The worshipping of a tselem. We call an idol a tselem. And how do we make an idol? We take clay. We form it into an image of what we think God is. And what Hashem is saying is something very powerful. Hashem is saying, if you want to get close to me, don't serve your image of what you think I am. Hashem is saying, you want to get close to me? Serve my image of what I made of myself. I made something in my image, and that's you, and your neighbor, and your friend. So we get into our car, and we say to ourselves something very simple. We have the kavana, how am I going to drive today as God would drive? How would God drive? I don't think that God would have the attitude that I'd rather have root canal than let someone in front of me. I'd rather give someone a kidney than wait a few seconds so someone can get in front of me. I think that God would be giving and generous and kind. And what happens in our mind, again, our consciousness, our awareness, our kavana, is that I get into the car And now my driving is not mindless. It's certainly not selfish. It's certainly not competitive. It's with the attitude, with the consciousness, with the awareness that I'm now going to seek out opportunities to be generous and giving and kind on the road. I'm going to look for people who seem like they really are trying to get in. They need to move over. And if I do that, my entire half hour driving is transformed into an incredibly powerful spiritual experience. One final area. In the 37th chapter of Bereishis, Torah says, Ela toldos Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov. You'd expect now to hear Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, the children of Yaakov. Torah says, Ela toldos Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old when he began taking care of his father's sheep, his flocks. What's going on here? These are the generations of Yaakov. And he just talks about Yosef. So some of the Hasidic interpretations say that the word toldos is not only talking about generations, progeny, but legacy, essence. Ela toldos Yaakov. What is the essence of Yaakov? What is the legacy of Yaakov? Yosef. To transcend, to go beyond, to do more. That the essence for us as Jews becomes not limiting ourselves. The Gemara says something frightening in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, why did we lose Jerusalem? Why did we have a Churban? And the Gemara seems to say that we didn't, I'm sorry, the Gemara seems to say because we followed the Torah. Because the Jews followed the Torah, we lost Jerusalem, there was a Churban. And the Gemara asks in shock, because we kept the Torah? That's why there was a Churban? And the Gemara says, yes, because we followed the law and didn't go beyond the letter of the law. How weird it is for someone to get married and say to their spouse, you know what, dear? I'm glad we're married. And I'm prepared to do exactly within the kasuba. But I won't do anything else. I'm willing to meet all my obligations in the marriage contract. But don't expect an ounce more. That's a recipe for disaster. If you come to work the first day of your new job and you say to the boss, listen, I'm willing to come in every day at 9 o'clock, but I'm leaving exactly at 5. Don't expect me to stay 1 minute after that. And I'm willing to do everything that's on my job description, but nothing else. That's a recipe for a failed relationship. And the Gemara says that ultimately what is able to take us past a dry, often meaningless spiritual experience is to say, you know what? I want to do more than just the instructions that I was given. Because the instructions are pointing me in a certain direction. I want to look for ways to go beyond, to do more. An example. We're told that we pray 3 times a day. The truth is that that's just a minimal amount of prayer. A minimal amount of prayer. Ultimately, unless we're praying all the time, it's going to be very difficult to really have meaningful prayer experiences when we pray 3 times a day formally. Really, we should be going into a shul to pray. Why? Because we're praying people. Because we're people who pray. I want to go into a shul and pray formally now. But every second of the day presents opportunities to pray to Hashem in our own words. And that's when we know when the rubber is hitting the road. Not when we open up a prayer book and we recite formal prayer. It can be a profound experience. But when we take it into our hearts where we just want to be able to do that spontaneously in our own words. We had, I think, last year or 2 years ago at the Torah in Motion seminar, Susie Schneider came from Eretz Yisrael. She recommends, before taking medicine, the following informal prayer, and actually it's become formalized through her recommendation. Before we take medicine, you who are both above and within creation, and who are the light of my very soul, May it be your will that this medicine that I am taking bring healing to me, because only you can restore the soul and only you can heal the undeserving. For we can say it in any words. We're about to take medicine. We're about to do something that has the potential to help ourselves. Please, Hashem, let this medicine do what it's supposed to do. Help me in my recovery. Not to pass by that experience. If we're driving in our car and we see an accident, God forbid, to pray for the people in the accident. Pray that an ambulance gets there if necessary. Pray that the people that were hurt somehow are able to get the attention they need and that they are not going to suffer any serious harm. If we think about it, we have opportunities for prayer 24 hours a day. Of blessing people. You see a mother wheeling her baby down the street. Give the child and the mother a blessing. I pray that this child grow up healthy. And a ben Torah or a bas Torah. I pray that his parents have nachas from it. We have so many infinite possibilities to express our spirituality. Rav Nachman of Breslov recommends an hour a day in Hispodidus. The old timers would go out into the forest for an hour and they would just scream and talk and plead and beg and cry in the presence of Hashem. Some people today do it in their cars when no one's going to think they're crazy doing it at home. But there are opportunities for us to spend private, quiet time in the presence of Hashem. Many spiritual traditions use the idea of a mantra to repeat a meaningful phrase that gives us inspiration and can transform our day. Rav Nachman of Breslov used to say repeatedly, Ribono Shel Olam, Ribono Shel Olam. I hear my wife sometimes calling out my name. She's not expecting me to answer. But when you feel close to someone, you call out their name. You want to have their attention. You want to call out to them. And Rav Nachman would do this. He would just not even say anything. Just call out, Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam. His heart is expressing a desire to connect. Rizal Salanter, we know there was an incident in his life where he was walking past a house late at night and he saw the shoemaker clomping on shoes at 3 o'clock in the morning and he comes over and he says, what are you doing so late at night? And the shoemaker says, you know, as long as my candle is burning, there's still time to fix and to repair. And we're told that for the next few weeks, Rav Yisrael Salanter would walk around in his house for hours saying this back and forth. As long as the candle's burning, there's still time to fix and repair. That's amazing. This phrase apparently was meaningful to him, inspirational. So don't let it fly away. Say it. One of the Hasidic rabbis used to use this mantra, Kedoshim Tihiyu Ki Kadosh Ani. Hashem said to us, you shall be holy because I am holy. And the Rebbe would say, twisting it a bit, Hashem's telling me, you shall be holy. And you know what? Ki Kadosh Ani, because I am holy. As a human being, as a Jew, I'm holy. And that's why God's telling me to be holy. Find a mantra and repeat it. Say it. Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to propose that people engage in 10 mini meditations a day, not as the conclusion to a spiritual path, but as the beginning. He actually published 2 separate lists of what he called 10 easy steps to greatness. They're not so easy, but they are steps, the beginnings of steps to greatness. I'm going to share one of these lists with you. Rav Miller said, each day, do one act of kindness that no one knows is yours. It requires effort sometimes. Find something each day that you do that's kind that no one knows about. I heard a story once that someone sent a letter to a parent, thanking the parent and congratulating them for how well they raised their children. There wasn't a signed letter, but I see how well your children behave. They're so nice in shul. Imagine what it feels like to get a letter like that. And you don't even know who sent it to you. But someone appreciates the fact that I really work hard on raising beautiful kids. And the person that sent that letter, it's not just helping someone else. Think about what that act of kindness does to the person who sent it. Every day, try and do something that no one knows about that's kind. Number two, encourage or compliment one person each day. You're on the checkout line, right? You're going into some supermarket where the person behind the cash register is harried and people are in a rush and people are pretty aggravated and they want it to go faster. And to say, you know what, I'm sure that it must be really hard having to stand here for 5 hours without a break and, you know, you're really doing a great job. There's so many times during the day that we can give someone encouragement, a compliment. It costs us nothing, but it's worth eternity. Number three, spend 60 seconds thinking about your day yesterday. Often before we go to sleep. What was yesterday all about? What happened? Number four, look at one face each day. Look in the face of one person and think about how it reflects the image of God. What an incredible opportunity for meditation. Every person is created in the image of God. You've got a piece of godliness right in front of you. Look in the mirror, maybe. You know, people struggling with poor self-image. Think about the fact, I am created in the image of God. The face reflects the image of God. Number five, an amazing activity. Give a full smile to one person each day. It's transforming. You walk up to the person that's doing your checkout at the supermarket. Give them a full smile. How many people scowl at them? Don't say anything. Just walk past them and take them for granted. Give one person a day a full smile. It will change their day. It will change your day. And Rav Miller knows that if you do this as a spiritual practice, you might even begin smiling at two people someday. Number six, ask God to help you succeed in one activity each day. You're going into an important meeting. To say to Hashem, as I was driving here today, I ask God, please help this day become a wonderful day. Help everybody here pay attention and get something out of it and apply it to their lives. Help me present properly. But anytime we're doing anything, we can simply invite Hashem into that. Number seven, focus on appreciating one part of your body or clothing each day. Rav Miller used to speak about the fact that we take buttons for granted. What an amazing thing. Imagine life before there were buttons, before there was Velcro, before there were zippers. The fact that we even have clothing. When there are people today in the world walking around, I was in New York this summer, I saw people where I was living in Queens walking around with plastic bags as clothing. Number eight, bless one person each day who is out of earshot. They shouldn't hear you. But bless some person each day. Give them a blessing. Number nine, this is very hard. Try to eat one meal each day mindfully. That means the entire meal, eating it mindfully, being aware of God, being aware that you're eating, being aware that you're chewing, being aware of what you're tasting, but eating mindfully, with consciousness, with awareness, with kavana. Number 10, spend 30 seconds each day thinking about Olam Haba, the world to come. Thinking about the fact that this is not it. It's not just 120 years, 90 years, 80 years, 70 years, and goodbye Charlie. This is a very, very small sliver of our lives. 30 seconds a day thinking about, you know what? There's a big world out there. It's called Olam Haba. I want to end by saying that I find my work that I do very difficult because I spend my days with Jews who are now practicing other religions because they say that they may have grown up in a Jewish home, maybe even went to Hebrew school, maybe had a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, had a family seder, lit Hanukkah candles, maybe went to a Jewish summer camp, maybe even went to Eretz Yisrael. But they tell me, with tears in their eyes, they never experienced God in all the Jewish things they did. They didn't even hear Jews speaking about God. It was just ethnicity, culture, religion. And we need to think about this not just for them, but for ourselves. That for us, what transforms everything we do from religion to a spiritual experience of ultimate and profound meaning is the kavana that we bring to it, the desire that we bring for it, the aspirations that we have, and ultimately the simple wanting. I want to be a Jew. I want to be a Jew that has a relationship with Hashem. Thank you, and if there are questions, comments, we have a few minutes. Yes.
I don't know about you, but I feel like I've personally moved up the ladder of consciousness just sitting here for the past hour. We have approximately 3 minutes until the next session is to start over here, and it gives us time to transfer, so we can entertain perhaps one question.
That was just thank you for the talk. It was a great talk. It raised something that's nagging at me for a long time. If I daven by myself, it's real davening. But when I daven Shmoneh Esrei, it's the way it's phrased, the way it's articulated. It sounds like I'm talking to Santa Claus. Love deal. It's just it's something. You know, it makes it. I don't know if I can articulate it any better than that. And I've heard other people also sort of have the same sort of thing. Have you ever, does that make any sense to you? Do you have any, it bothers me.
You know, we call tefillah avoda. It's work. It's a practice. It's not easy. And there are a number of things that we can do to make our tefillah experience more successful. One of them, as I said, is to become people who are more praying by nature and by activity. Just become prayers. And secondly, to work on our prior davening by learning the meaning of davening, by spending time trying to focus ourselves on davening. Just the ability to focus on what we're saying, to slowly go through. Rabbi Arya Kaplan used to recommend, it's probably impossible, 7 seconds on each word of davening. Right? That's probably a Herculean task for us. But if we slow down, if we pay attention, if we study, if we learn, if we work at it with earnestness, I believe that all of our davening can really be kicked up, as Emeril says, a notch or two. But thank you for your comments. That's it? Okay. So I hope everyone has a wonderful day, and good seeing everybody again.